Victor Brown, who takes care of our building, asked me a few weeks ago if he could be off this weekend and wanted to take his wife, it's her birthday, and take her somewhere for her birthday. So I said, sure. I didn't want to get him in trouble with his wife. So it's always good that we have Wilbert here. Come on, Wilbert takes care of the building for us when Victor is away. So let's give thanks to Wilbert. Yeah, thank you, Wilbert. Wilbert comes as part of our Ministry of Hope, and so we try to use folks that are in that ministry to help us throughout our ministries here. And then I wanted to give a little example of just what happens day to day, week by week, that you may not know about. So about Katie did so well to sing for us today. I'll tell you a little story about Katie Pisaki. So our phone bill here runs about $300 a month, and that's for the phones and the internet and all that kind of stuff. So last month, a few weeks ago, we opened up the bill, and it was $3,300. And so we kind of looked into it, and someone had hacked the phone system, and where are they calling, Katie? Dominican Republic. So somebody needed to talk to a friend in Dominican Republic for $3,000. So I said, well, Katie, handle it. And she did. She was on the phone all day long with Verizon. I could tell Verizon was going to make us pay that bill. And she said, look, we're a church. She was just going on with Verizon, and they let us have it. You know, next day or later that day, we got an email saying that it had been rescinded. Don't worry about it. So Katie does a lot for us in the building. So let's just show our love to Katie today. So we're talking about joy today, and the best way for me is I have a little book. It's by Frederick Buechner, and it's a wishful thinking. It's a theological ABC, and so I said, he's got to have something about joy. So let me share with you what he says about joy. It's just a couple of sentences. He says, joy. Happiness turns up more or less where you'd expect it to. A good marriage, a rewarding job, a pleasant vacation. Joy, on the other hand, is as notoriously unpredictable as the one who gives it. Joy is something that it just happens. We don't expect it to occur. So I was trying to think of a few examples of joy. And the first would be, over the weekend, I traveled back and forth to Baltimore in this weather for Julie Riggs. Julie Riggs got married. She married a guy named Chris. He runs a Porsche dealership in Baltimore City. He asked me if I wanted to drive his Porsche around. I said, no, you wouldn't have a Porsche. By the time I was done with that, I'd wreck it. But they had their wedding at a glass-blowing factory in Baltimore. It was so much fun. And you could just see the joy in these two persons' lives of and Chris. And as they gave their vows, they kind of made up their own vows. They get very nervous when the couple wants to do that, but they did that. And you know, there was so much joy, there were tears, everybody was crying, there was so much joy in that service last night. So that's joy. Another piece of example of joy was this past week, I asked one of our families who's visiting us if I could come by their home to visit. And they said, oh yeah, sure. And so I knocked on the door and the mom answered and she said, the girls are so excited that Pastor Dave is coming today. And I opened the door, and these girls just welcomed me with so much joy. I felt joy. It was great. I thought, oh my gosh, if everybody treated me that way when I came to your house. It was great. It was just out of the blue joy. The third one is at the house. I call him the bug man. We have Dodson Control comes in. Does the inspection at the parsonage for bugs and that every month. And have a new guy this year. His name is Oscar. And Oscar's a fine young man. He's probably 24 years old, and he does good for me. And so he was getting ready to leave. He was this week. And I said, you know, here's your Christmas gift, your tip. And he just lit up. He didn't know what it was. He says, what? This is for me? I said, yes, you do good work for me. And I expect good in return. I've gotten one of these before. And he said, thank you, Pastor Dave. And he hugged me. And I thought, you know, that was just joy in this young man's life that he didn't expect. That's joy. That's joy. So today we're looking at the prophet Zephaniah. Say that word with me. Zephaniah. Zephaniah is, in the literature, he is one of the most under-preached books, prophets of the Bible. Not many people know about Zephaniah. I asked the first service if anybody had read Zephaniah. No one raised their hand, and I said, we're going to sit for 20 minutes in silence. So I'm going to ask you, did anybody read Zephaniah? Okay, so we're going to keep going here. All right, we're good. We're going to keep going. You have saved the day. So Zephaniah. So what is it about Zephaniah? Zephaniah is a minor prophet. What is the difference in a minor prophet and a major prophet? Does anyone know? It's just the length. A major prophet is a lot of pages, 20, 25 pages. The minor prophets, there's 12 of them, and they're just a few pages long. Zephaniah is 3 pages and a paragraph long. Zephaniah is very short. What's going on with Zephaniah? Zephaniah is about 400 BC, during the time of Josiah. Things are not going well for the folks of Judah, for the Hebrews, for the Israelites. There is corruption socially. There is corruption religiously. There is corruption militarily. There is corruption politically. And what has happened is the people of God have just turned away from God. They have decided upon themselves that they can run their own life the way they want to run it. No one needs to tell them. They can make their own decisions. Their decisions are going to be right. And they say, God, we don't need you in our life. They have quit worshiping God. They see no reason to go to temple every Saturday. They have turned their back from God. They have said, God, we don't need you anymore in our lives. We can do it all ourselves. We don't need anyone else. No one. Zephaniah comes around. And Zephaniah has some unkind words for these folks. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. In the Roman Catholic Church, that liturgy is known as Deis Ira. And it's part of one of the weekly liturgies in the Roman Catholic Church about the wrath of the Lord. It's called the Day of the Lord. He's saying, you have sinned against God. You better get your life straight or some bad things are going to happen to you. I was thinking this week, in our American society, have we become like the people during this time of Zephaniah? When is the last time we had a conversation with God about an important decision we had? When is the last time that we thought, you know, I need to do this, but maybe I should talk to God first. Maybe I should pray to God. God, help me. I was talking to a person after a second service, and they said, you know, I quit work, and now I'm back to work. Why did I do that? And I said, well, did you talk to God about it? He said, no. I said, next time, talk to God about it, and God will help you with that decision in your life. We're a well-educated congregation. We're pretty well off monetarily. We have things. Do we need God? What point, what purpose is God there for us? We're here worshiping as a community of faith, and we're here to worship God. But you know, think about what we put our faith in. We put our faith in politicians. That makes me very nervous. We put our faith in military, tanks, and planes, ships. That makes me nervous. We put our faith in the stock market. People are running out of in fear because of what's happening in the stock market. Oh, the stock market is tanking. What am I going to do? Putting our faith in the stock market? We're called what? To put our faith in God. And then Zephaniah says this in the third chapter. He says, you know, folks, if you put your faith and trust in God, God is going to have the best party you've ever seen. A God-style party, where there's going to be clapping and tambourines and drums, and people will be running in the streets just having the best of times because God has forgiven them and they're giving thanks for all that God, they have been restored with God once again. It's going to be a homecoming. It's going to be like the prodigal son when the prodigal son came back and what did his father do? But embraced him. It's like the sheep that was lost and the shepherd went and found the sheep. Homecoming. And what brings us to Advent is this. In the third chapter he says, the Lord your God is in your midst. We're not going to be down here just having this greatest party all by ourselves, but God is going to be here right with us partying right along. And in Advent, we celebrate that God has come down to be with us in the form of a child, Jesus Christ. God is with us, Emmanuel. That's what we celebrate. God has come to be with us here on this earth to experience our pain, to experience all that we go on in life. But also, we believe Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, that there will be in our future another homecoming. Another homecoming of God being with us here on earth. And that's what we look forward to as Christians today. We celebrate Christ is among us today. But we celebrate as well another homecoming to look forward to in the future. Well, God will celebrate and dance with us again. And that's the good news. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we all say together, Amen. Amen.